You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Going to be looking ahead at all the action coming up on Wednesday from Nottingham, Ludlow, Toaster, Kempton. You can hear it live on William Hill's Racing Radio. It gets underway at 1:35pm with Stephen Powell, Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel. We'll take you through the day's action with analysis, selections and previews of the day's racing and commentaries on those races as well, of course. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Andy Holding. Andy, how are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, in good form, actually. Yeah. Looking forward to this weekend's action at Newmarket. And, of course, we've got some good jumping as well for us National Hunt fans at Chepstow. This is the real first proper weekend where we can safely say the National Hunt season is in full swing, because we've got graded races like Persian War, what have you. And that dovetails nicely with the action over at Newmarket, where, of course, we've got what looks to be a stellar card, with the highlight being the Dewhurst.
Interesting with regards to this sort of crossover period between flat and jumps, Andy. Different people have different opinions on when sort of the jump season proper starts. Some would say it's the meeting at Chepstow this weekend. Others would say it's the meeting at Cheltenham at the end of the month. Mm. Others still the Charlie Hall. Where would you place it as being?
Well, you could argue that the home of National Hunt Racing should be the start, or the obvious starting point, because, you know, we do get the festival there next season, so it should start almost like start and end towards in that period. But I think Chepstow traditionally, for those of us that have been in the game for a long, long time, have always associated this weekend with the curtain raising, because the standard definitely increases from just ordinary summer jumping racing to a much higher level. The fact that you've got the first graded race, the proper graded race, the Persian War, that tells you that the proper winter boys are out now. And a good supporting card as well, with plenty of good handicaps and other interesting races. And all the big boys are out, you know, your Nicholses, your Tizards, your Hobbses. They'll all have big runners this weekend, whereas they haven't really got the wrappers off many of their good horses. So yeah. I think this weekend's the start.
Without turning this into too much of a National Hunt preview, sounds like Tizard might be sending a few of his good horses to Chepstow.
Exactly, yeah. You know, Finian's Oscar, and he'll have one or two others scattered around. He's made a good start, certainly to early part of October and the latter end of September, to suggest his horses are cherry ripe. And Paul Nichols always likes to attack this meeting as well. He very rarely leaves it empty-handed.
Well, we look forward to that, but for now we are still in the depths of the flat season as we come towards this weekend, of course, the future Champions Weekend and Champions Weekend next weekend as well. And we've got some great action coming up on Wednesday. I think we'll go with some good action coming up on Wednesday, Andy. What is your nap selection?
I thought we were going to talk about the Dewhurst. Has that slipped us by?
Usually we do the Nap and Next Best first.
How do we?
And then we talk about the Dewhurst.
Well, let's talk about the Nap and Next Best then.
Okay.
Okay. Totally caught me out. Well, my nap would come in the shape of Glendevon, who runs in the 5:55 at Kempton on Wednesday evening. This horse caught my eye in no uncertain terms, first time off the shelf, at the same track in a EBF Novice Stakes. It was a plus 10 contest won by Symbolization, who was very well fancied from the Godolphin stable. That horse had the experience of racing already, which was obviously seen to good effect. But I liked the run of Glendevon, who ran really green in the race, was at towards the back door, but finished its race off very, very eye-catching without being a serious threat to the winner. But the fact that the front two pulled 5.5 lengths clear of the rest, and some of them were well fancied as well, such as Tanzika was third, and Bowler Hat, of course, who'd run well the time before, that was well beaten as well. And the time figure of the race is pretty special as well for the grade. I noticed this horse was down to run at Chelmsford the other night, but didn't run on account of a vet certificate. That old pesky vet certificate. That could mean a numerous amount of things, couldn't it, the vet certificate?
Yeah.
Was it the draw?
Was it,
or did it tread on one of those pesky stones that often float around the stable yards? I think we need some more brushes in some of these stable yards.
Let's not ignite this debate. But either way,
Glenn Devon has made a miraculous recovery from only 3 days ago to finally find its way back onto the race course. So I'm quite keen to see this horse run tomorrow night. Jamie Spencer book, drawn in stall four. Glenn Devon, big chance tomorrow in the 5:55 at Kempton.
In this this race, the 5:55 at Kempton, we've got a first time out winner in under a small penalty. Oh no, it's a filly, so carrying a penalty on top of the filly's allowance, I suppose. Cheese and Pickle.
Yeah.
Would you rate her as a danger to the selection?
Yeah. I mean, Keith Dalglish, very rare raid down to Kempton. He's obviously normally associated with Newcastle, you know, close to his home. And race at the North, so he must fancy her chances of sorts. Doesn't probably amount to a lot, that filly's conditions race. I just got the feeling that that race at Kempton that Glenn Devon took part in was of a much higher standard. And of course, we've got Expromptu in there as well to give the race a solid look about it, because at least this horse has already got a rating of 77, so he'll be very much the barometer to the level of form. But I'll be disappointed if Glenn Devon doesn't run beyond a rating of 77. If not, he already achieved that first time out.
Glenn Devon and the NAP selection of Andy Holding on Wednesday comes in Kempton's 5:55. What about your next best, Andy?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Garran Park for my next best. I won't be covering Garran Park on the podcast tomorrow, but Irish racing fans are not going to be totally starved of a selection from yours truly, courtesy of Highland Fling from the Gavin Cromwell yard, who runs in that concluding mile 6 handicap. The ground's going to be pretty testing there tomorrow, so you want something that's A, in good form, stays really well, and has handled heaven ground before. Up steps Highland Fling, who can fill those three criteria based on its last two runs. Both of those two victories have come on heaven ground at the Listowel Festival, one over hurdles, one on the flat, and has been very impressive on both occasions. The form of that Listowel victory last time out has been highlighted by the third horse called Kilcarry Bridge, who went to back to Garran next time out and absolutely demolished its field off a mark of 120. So the form for that race has already worked out well. The horse is in its form of its life. So I'd expect a huge performance there from Highland Fling, who clearly is in great nick.
Yeah, well, one his last two starts, both on jumps and on the flat. So a first style sort.
Yeah, and the first performance was a very good time figures race. I actually backed it next time up when it went back to the track 2 days later. I do like that angling, actually, horses that run at... if you've got a festival over, it's like 6 or 7 days like they have in Ireland, like Galway, Listowel. Horses that run well early on in the week and then they go and run later on in the week, I always think they've got a huge advantage because they've already had a run around the track.
Well, Highland Fling then is the next best selection of Andy Holding on Wednesday. It runs in the 5:30 at Garran Park. Mm-hmm. And those are your NAP and next best then, Andy. Well, let's turn our attention to some of the weekend action. Now, you're very keen to talk about the Dewhurst Stakes,
well,
of course, the Group 1 contest. But it's looking like a great renewal. Interesting to see Expert Eye in as favourite to support 6. Well, obviously, you would expect Smuggle Stouts Charge to be the favourite for this. 4-6 was here at William Hill. 9-2, Verbal Dexterity. And Marathi is 6-1, 9-1 for Seahenge. 10-1 for both Happily and US Navy Flag. And it's 16-1 and bigger for the rest. The reason I say interesting, Andy, is... You know, only had the two runs. Okay, was very impressive in the Vintage Stakes last time, but has been off since and was supposed to run since Expert Eye. I think scoped poorly and missed the race as a result. Would that be a concern coming here?
A slight one, yeah. You always want preparations to go 100% smoothly, don't you, with any horse when they're running in a Grade 1 race. Clearly over those problems that beset this horse, because Sir Michael wouldn't dare run a horse of that quality if he wasn't 100% sure that he'd been showing him the right things. And the word out from Newmarket that he has been going very well again, back to the standard he was when, of course, he won at Goodwood. When he was hugely impressive that day. Don't forget, he only went into that race at the Sussex track off the back of a maiden victory, albeit a very eye-catching maiden victory when he beat Bacchiero, of course, went on to win himself at the Goodwood Festival. So we knew that he was of decent standard even though he won a maiden, but his victory there, as I said, at Goodwood was hugely impressive next time up. When he cantered into the lead to win the Vintage Stakes in hugely impressive fashion, that was over 7 furlongs, but he beat James Garfield, who was fourth very readily. And of course, we know what that horse had done subsequently. He went on to land the mill roof, and of course, then he now goes to the Juvenile Breeders' Cup race for George Scott. out there in Santa Anita. So he was beating a decent standard of horse that day. C. Henge was fifth as well. He's won subsequently. So the time figures are good. They all stack up. And just the way and the manner we went about that victory, when he cruised into the lead. You don't normally see 3 or 2 year olds win in the manner that he did. I think he's a worthy favourite for the Guineas. I've actually already backed him for the Guineas next year. Luckily, I managed to jump on him after he won his maiden. But I don't necessarily think he'll have it all his own way, even though I think he's a quality horse. I wouldn't touch him at 4-6 on Saturday because I think this is a proper test. I think we've got some very good horses up against him here. There is value to be had elsewhere. And there are one or two horses with untapped potential that could easily make a huge jump forward and prove the equal of Expert Eye. Mm.
Well, Verbal Dexterity is the second favourite in the market at 9-2. A couple of people have been mentioning about the ground for this horse. Both victories have come on, well, one on soft and one to soft or heavy. Do you think that's a coincidence, or do you think it's a horse that wants it soft?
Well, he's bi-vocalised, and that size offspring often go well with a little bit of ease in the ground. We'll soon find out how he gets on, and of course, how flexible he is with regards conditions. It's certainly going to be on the quick side on Saturday. I've looked at the long range forecast. It was quick round there the other day when they ran the last meeting. It was much quicker than good. It was good to firm for me. And you certainly want to be on a horse that's got a nice action. But his overall form is of a good, very high standard, of course. He won last time out at the Curragh when he took the National Stakes, a Group 1 event, of course. He's got that Group 1 race under his belt. None of the others in the race can say that. And he comes from a yard that has won this race amazingly 5 times in recent years. So Jim Bolger knows what it takes to win the Dewhurst. And he's a lovely big scopey type as well, this fella. He'll probably look the most imposing of the runners as they parade before the crowd there on Saturday. Luckily, I am going Saturday, so it should be worth the entrance fee alone this race. He's definitely a major player, Verbal Dexterity, without a shadow of a doubt.
Interesting to see Happily in the market at 10-1, a two-time Group 1 winner, and a filly, presumably priced in there that she might not turn up for the race.
Yeah, I would say it's almost certain she's not going to run. It's interesting to see which one Aidan O'Brien does run. Of course, he's got Sea Henge in there, who was a good winner last time at Goodwood. Doncaster, beg your pardon. US Navy flag, probably better over shorter trips. 6 furlongs on the evidence of what we've seen. Fleet Review's in there as well. And he's got a couple of others, 3 and 4 pence and Coat of Arms and Mendelssohn. He'll probably run one, maybe two. The likelihood is he'll run Sea Henge. But at the moment, jockey bookings and stable representatives are very much fluid. But the one I quite like is Emirati.
I was going to say, the only one towards the end of the market.
We're finally going to get onto my selection, yeah. Long-windedly. I've also backed this horse for the Guineas as well. I've got 2 bets. I've got Expert Eye already in the can, but I've had to top up my betting portfolio for this race with John Gosden's Charge, who caught my eye actually more first time out when he was fourth at Sandown than he did with his win last time out at Newbury, because that was very much expected. He was an odds-on poke. But he went down into probably every notebook available who went racing there at the Ayrshire track first time up when he finished fourth. He was the best horse in the race by a distance. He just got into all sorts of traffic problems. He was very green. He was actually last turning in. But his closing sectionals for 4 out were only bettered by the likes of Barney Roy and Ulysses at Sandown this season. I don't get many horses that run 38 and change from 4 out there. 48 and change. And he managed to do that. He then went to Newbury, as I said, and won as expected. He made the running that day, which is a bit of a... He run almost the race back to front like he did at Sandown. So he can go from the front. Yeah. And he's quite an exuberant type. He seems as though he's got lots of pace. We'll certainly find out how good he is this Saturday. But the fact that John Gosden, who's normally very reticent with and very sparing with his better horses, he tends to run them with a more view to the future and more educationally. The fact that he's prepared off the back of just 2 runs to run this in the Group 1 after winning a maiden must tell you that he's telling you basically, look, this is a Group 1 horse, everyone. Yeah. He's not that kind of trainer. He's not like a Clive Britton in the past or Jim Bolger that would just basically fire a million bullets at the board. If he thinks this horse is a Grade 1 horse, then we've got to take note. He certainly looks like he is. He's bred like he is. He costs $2.6 million and he just oozes class. He's run star given on what we saw at Newbury as well. Lends itself to a fast ground, front running or a prominent ride at Newmarket. They're not coming from the back. I could see him, you know, jumping out the stalls and really, you know, setting it up from the front. So I think if you can get an each way bet, and at the moment William Hill are offering an each way bet at 6-1. Let's say there's only 6 runners, 6 or 7 runners on Saturday. You're going to get 6-1 each way about Emirati, who's going to get a forceful ride. He could get a lot of these off the bridle on fast ground because I think he's a very talented horse. As I said, I've backed him for the Guineas as well at 25-1. And I think he's a horse very much for the future, whatever happens.
As you heard, Andy mentioned there, Emirati 6-1 with us here at William Hill. Expert Eyes, the 4-6 favourite, though. And then before we finish up, Andy, I want to put in a quick mention for another horse that runs in the Judmont colours other than Expert Eye, and that being Enable, of course, this year's ARC winner. We've heard this week that she'll stay in training at 4. Interesting decision by Connections, maybe not surprising given how they've played it with their own horses in the past.
Yeah.
But I was talking to John Bonden on the podcast the other day about this. There's a slight air of what can she go on and do at 4 that she hasn't already achieved as a 3-year-old.
Yeah, there is that sort of thought process. I wouldn't say they've put all their eggs in one basket with Cracksman, but I think Cracksman's almost the pivotal horse for next season because, in theory, Enable has already beaten everything that's been put in her way this season. She's going to take on roughly what as she's already taken on. But Cracksman was, in theory, the only one going into the arc with an entry in the arc that anyone who backed Enable was worried about because of his progression as well. Obviously, the winner of the pre-Niel, which is a precursor normally to the Arc de Triomphe. But Connections have decided to sort of back off of him and really attack with him next season. So it'll be, I think he's between those two at the moment, which one is going to be the dominant force next season. But if Cracksman does go along the way that his curve is expected to go, I think he could give Enable certainly enough to worry about next season. But John Gosden has certainly got a headache trying to keep those two apart.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? Because if Enable, we've heard the plan for her probably be a Coronation Cup, King George Arc, roughly, maybe throwing a couple of other races along the
way.
But then where'd you put Cracksman?
Exactly the same route.
Yeah.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's a lovely problem to have. But if you're an anti-post backer and you want to get involved with Enable for next year's Arc or whatever it is at 3-1, I certainly think you want to be having a few quid on a saver on Cracksman just in case.
Well, it will be very interesting to see what happens when the two of them meet, assuming the two of them will meet. Well, they will meet at some point next season, assuming they both stay sound.
Either way, it's a sporting gesture from Prince Carl, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been so good like that with his horses from down the years, you know, if you think about the likes of Frank, with obviously Snow Fairy, horses like that, who have all been kept in training at 4.
I think he's very much aware of the public's perception and persona for some of these flat horses. We don't get to see them enough. The love affair isn't really connecting with the flat racing public, not like the jumpers. But Prince Carl is very much cut from a different cloth. I think he's, like I say, essentially a sportsman. That's what he's in the game for. He wants to see his horses run. I don't think Enable's got anything else to prove. But let's see what she can do as a four-year-old. She might even be better. And if that's the case, that's great for racing.
Will be fascinating to see what happens with Enable and indeed Cracksman next season. And it'll be great to see what happens this week. Great weekend of racing coming up. And until then, you can hear all the action day to day on William Hill's Racing Radio. Andy, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
It's been a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.